I'm Fraser Cain, and you're listening to the audio edition of Universe Today. Forget about nuclear weapons. If you need to move a dangerous asteroid, you should just use a tractor beam. Think that's just Star Trek science? Well, think again. A team of NASA astronauts have recently published a paper in the journal Nature. They're proposing an interesting strategy that would use the gravity of an ion-powered spacecraft parked beside an asteroid to slowly shift it out of a hazardous orbit. Dr. Stanley G. Love is a member of the team and speaks to me from his office in Houston. Hi, Stan. Welcome to Universe Today.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Dealing with asteroids that are going to hit the Earth. Now, as I understand, you need to find a crew of top-quality oil miners, and you need to put them on the space shuttle and send them with a bunch of nuclear bombs to the asteroid to blow it up. Now, are you telling me that maybe this isn't the best way?
Well, it depends on what your goal is. If your goal is to make a movie that's going to make a ton of money, then yeah, go wild. That's exactly the right way to do it. If your goal is to actually prevent an impact with the Earth, though, we're hoping that there might be a simpler method of dealing with this.
All right. So what's the simpler method that you're suggesting?
Well, the method we're suggesting is to send a relatively large and heavy spacecraft, but not so large and heavy that we can't imagine it, send it out to the asteroid, and instead of trying to blow up the asteroid or land on it and push the thing aside, both of those ideas have been suggested, but they both have some difficulties. What we are suggesting you do is just park the spacecraft next to it and let it hover there. And if you let it hover there for something like a year, very, very gradually, the tiny gravitational pull between the asteroid and the spacecraft is going to pull the asteroid over in the direction of the spacecraft. The spacecraft is hovering at a constant direction from the or a constant distance from the asteroid. And what this means is that it's very gradually pulling the asteroid off course using gravity as sort of a tow line. And if you can get enough warning on your asteroid, so you know it's coming 20 years or so before it's going to hit, and you can get the spacecraft out there and have it pull for about a year, you can pull it enough so that instead of hitting the Earth, it will miss the Earth.
Now, all of the media and, you know, and all those disaster movies sort of revolve around, you know, some astronomer spotting a dangerous asteroid 3 months before it's going to hit. And it sounds like your solution is more, you know, the 20-year range. Do you think that's the more realistic scenario now these days?
It's hard to know because we haven't really discovered all of the asteroids that could potentially hit the Earth yet. We've got a lot of people very busily working on that problem. There's searches going on every night. I think a lot of them are automated, though. They're not some lonely guy on a mountaintop with his eye to the lens of a telescope there. And it is possible that tomorrow we could realize that there's something coming that's going to hit us that we didn't know about, and it could be 3 months away from impact or a day away from impact. That would be certainly unfortunate. But in the future, we are likely to know all these things, know their orbits, and we can predict ahead long before when they would hit us. And that's the sort of scenario that our solution would be able to deal with.
And so what sizes of asteroids would you be able to deal with?
A couple hundred meters in size. So the size of a football stadium or a convention center.
And what would the spacecraft itself look like? What kind of components would it have on it?
When we came up with the idea for our little paper, we pulled a spacecraft design essentially off the shelf. It was NASA's Prometheus project, where they were going to send large nuclear-powered spacecraft, say, to orbit Jupiter's moon Europa and do a lot of interesting science there. This is a 20-ton spacecraft with electric thrusters. That is, it uses the electric power to heat a gas to an extremely high temperature and squirt it out the back. So you get marvelous fuel economy. You get a lot of ability to move the spacecraft for a small amount of fuel, but the thrust is really low. You only get a newton or so, sort of a fifth of a pound of force. And so you have a large electric propulsion, nuclear-powered spacecraft. This is probably going to be a long, skinny thing since it needs a lot of radiators to reject the waste heat from the nuclear reactor. It's going to have a set of thrusters and a fuel tank and then some guidance and navigation components. Depending on how you set the spacecraft up, we decided, well, you know, if you put the reactor, which is heavy, and the fuel tank, which is heavy, down close to the asteroid, sort of hanging from the thrusters with the thrusters at the top, then you get more mass close to the asteroid. That increases your gravitational pull, because the gravitational pull decreases rapidly as you increase the distance between the two masses. Yeah, but also helps stabilize your spacecraft, and it sort of helps you all around if you put your heavy components hanging down close to the asteroid with the thrusters up at the top.
Oh, I see. So you would, it would almost be like you had like a ball at the end of a rope, and you'd have the heavy part, the reactor and all the fuel and all that just right hanging as close to the asteroid as you can, while the thrusters and all that is further up the rope pulling it away.
That's exactly right. Now, of course, you need to tip your thrusters out away so that the plume of hot gas coming out of them doesn't hit the asteroid. It does no good trying to pull an asteroid closer to you with gravity at the same time that you are pushing on it with your thruster plumes. So you need to tip those outboard so that the plumes miss the asteroid, and that will help improve your telling force.
Now, do you have any targets that you think might be a good victim of this kind of movement strategy?
We were sort of developing the idea as a generic idea to be applied to anything. However, there's a asteroid 99942 Apophis, and I'm not sure about the pronunciation of that, which is supposed to make a close pass by Earth, I think, in 2029. And if that asteroid happens to pass through exactly the right point in space as it goes back by the Earth, it has a chance to come around again in 7 or 8 years and hit us, which would be bad. And that asteroid is an excellent target for this kind of a mission if you can get to it before that first Earth flyby that would line it up for an impact on the second time around. And the reason for that is these flybys warp the path of the asteroid so that a tiny, tiny change in the flight direction before the flyby gives a huge change in the flight direction after the flyby. So it's like a bank shot in pool. A little tiny mistake on the first part, after the bounce, the mistake gets multiplied. So you could use a gravitational tractor that wasn't nuclear powered and that didn't weigh 20 tons. You could use a 1-ton chemical propelled gravity tractor to pull this asteroid just slightly off course before that Earth flyby, so that after the Earth flyby, it was going nowhere near it.
Oh, okay, I see. So if you had an asteroid that was like 20 years out, you could move your big ion engine powered tractor. And how long would you need to spend with it next to the asteroid to move
about
it?
About a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if it's just about to do the gravity flyby, you could actually give it a very small change and it should still sort of kick it out of the bad orbit and into a good orbit.
Right, because you're going to use that flyby of the Earth to multiply the little tiny effect you put on the asteroid with your spacecraft before the flyby, and then after the flyby, the effect is much greater.
So what's the stage of your proposal now, and sort of what's the future for it right now?
Well, it's hard to know. Right now, we've made a proposal. We've got an idea out there, and people are talking about it, which excites us a lot. My co-author Ed Liu and I have both written many scientific papers for publication, and none of them have received even a tenth as much attention as this one. So the idea is out there, and we'll see what happens. I think the debate will become much more pointed if we actually do discover an asteroid that is on a collision path with the Earth, and we'll really need to get together and decide what we're going to do about it.
Well, that's my concern with the whole process of protecting the Earth from asteroids, is that there's a lot of uncertainty in predicting, you know, when and where it's going to hit. The better you can mark the orbit, the better chance you know of if it's going to be a risk. But in many cases, if you've got these ones that are 30 years out, you know, decision makers and lawmakers might say, well, we're going to wait until it, you know, we know better. And yet the more you know better, the less chance you have of changing its orbit.
Yes, that's always true. And, you know, human nature plays into this a lot. You know, nobody's ever suffered an asteroid strike, so it's hard to compare it with things that we have suffered, like, I don't know, tsunamis and hurricanes, to pick a couple of recent examples. The things that we know about and experience in a person's lifetime are always easier to visualize and understand and to get people to pay attention to than something that seems kind of esoteric and science fiction-y and, you know, is this real or are people just making it up? I don't know a good solution to that, but the fact that people are talking about the idea and thinking about it, not just in the elevated circles of academia, but all over the world, I think is a good sign. And at least we're thinking about the problem, and if we need to solve it, I think we'll pull together and do it.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me today. Good luck with the proposal.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Dr. Stanley G. Love spoke to me from his office at NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston. Now, you can get more space and astronomy news from my website at universetoday.com. If you have any questions or comments, you can send me an email at info@universetoday.com. Thanks for listening.